This morning in Galatians chapter 4, if you would turn over there with me, please. Galatians chapter 4. The Lord has truly blessed us in abundance over this past week, and it is our privilege and our honor to gather together to praise Him, worship Him, and offer our prayers to Him this morning. We are thankful for those that are visiting with us, for your attendance with us, that encouragement that you bring to us. But more than all of those things, we are thankful for you having a heart that is interested in worshiping God with us this morning. I'm just going to start with reading from Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Galatians 4, verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And although my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, but my little children for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish you be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. So we took a short break from studying through the book of Galatians, so I'm going to give you a couple of reminders before we move forward. You know, in the Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So this troubling group of people is sort of this theme that is carried forward through several chapters here in the book of Galatians, and he keeps coming back to that. So when we're talking in chapter 4 about those that wanted to have much made of them and wanted their attention, that's who we're talking about, those that would try to entice them to this other gospel, though there is not another one. Our last lesson, we had talked about this idea of being sons and heirs of God, and what a privilege that is to be a son or an heir of God. But in today, I want us to think about this idea that is presented in the last half of this reading, this idea of Paul trying to reach them, trying to convince them that what they've already followed, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is all they really need. And this is very similar to what we find in the book of Hebrews. The same idea of why would you go back to anything else when you already have that which is superior. But Paul makes a statement in here. Have I become your enemy simply because I tell you the truth? You know, I think Paul placed a lot of emphasis on having good co-workers in the gospel. We've talked before about that relationship between Paul and Timothy, that mentorship that he had over Timothy, but it wasn't just a mentorship. There was a bond between the two of those that was extremely strong. When Paul had people that were as dedicated to God as he was, that wanted to be co-workers with him, he was glad to have that help. There were times in which he didn't have that help, and we see that that was a hindrance. That having co-workers along with him was a good thing. He enjoyed having good, close relationships
with brethren. Paul did not want to be a loner. Yes, he speaks at times of having concerns and even anxiety about his brethren and praying for them because of those things. But that didn't outweigh the good that he received from them. And so that's really where I want to go with our study this morning, is this idea of having the right friends. You know, no matter how introverted we are, having solid friendships is important to our emotional well-being. It is important to our mental well-being. It is important to our spiritual well-being. And we understand that everything and everyone has some sort of an influence upon our life, for good or for bad. Some of those influences we can't choose, but some of them we can. And friendships are one of those things that we can make some determinations about. But friends can be a wonderful blessing to us. Proverbs 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Tells a lot about our friendships when we go through that adversity, whether they stand at our side or not. Proverbs 27, verse 9, oil and perfume makes the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Now, counsel's not always easy to take. Someone giving you advice, it may not necessarily be what you want to hear. I think that's part of what's going on with the Galatians here when he says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You know, Paul was a friend, and he describes that they received him in one of those moments of adversity. He says, you would have even gouged out your eyes if it would have helped me. So obviously there's a bond there, so he should be able to tell them the things they needed to know. Sometimes a true friend really tells you those things that maybe you don't want to hear. You're resistant to hearing. Sometimes a false friend will tell you just whatever they think you want to hear, or that will make you happy, or that you'll agree with, so that they can just move on past it. Let's just get out of this moment because I don't really want to be here. You see, what we find is that brother that's born for adversity, that true friend, that's one that's not looking to get away from you in that moment of adversity. That's one who comes to your side in the moment of adversity. And so Paul, in writing to them, you know, talking about all of these things that were being presented to them to entice them away from the true gospel of Christ, he says, I've got to tell you these things because I'm really your friend. I'm really your brother. I'm really here to help you. And it's difficult to tell somebody the truth if we know that it's going to make them angry, or we know that it's going to hurt their feelings. And even in there in verse 20 in Galatians chapter 4, he said, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone. I think what he's saying there is, I've got to be bold and direct in writing to you so you don't misunderstand me. But if I was present there with you, I would tell you the same thing, but I would be able to show you that tender affection that we would have in the presence of each other rather than just having to write these things down and send them to you. I think that's the first key about having true friends and being a true friend, is the tender affection, even when they have to tell you something you may not like, that you may not want to hear. Now, if we're trying to be a true friend to somebody and we think, well, I've got to tell them the truth, whether it hurts or not, and we don't show any of that tender affection, I think we're missing part of the point. We're there to help. And Paul had been a true friend to these brethren at Galatia. And we need people like that. We need people that will help us along the way to not only learn what the truth is. For example, he came and shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was fulfilling his mandate as an apostle, as an ambassador for Christ. But he didn't do it just because Jesus said to. He did it because he cared. He cared about other people. Remember what Jesus said, love your enemies as yourself. Love your neighbors as yourself. Look to do good unto everybody. We're going to get into that in Galatians chapter 6 as well. Do good unto all, especially those of the household of faith. That care and concern means I want what's best. I want what's best. And so while the false friend will think, I just want out of the moment, the true friend says, I want to help them grow. I want to help them do better. And so the true friend will say the truth, even if it's not popular, even. I don't know anything about the popularity of movements in the first century, but this whole idea that he's presenting in Galatians chapter 1 about somebody preaching some other gospel, there had to be something attractive or people wouldn't listen to it. There had to be something that made people pay some attention to it. And obviously it was attracting the Galatians because Paul said, I'm astonished. I'm astonished that you're going after this. And so he tells them, not only are these people accursed for preaching such a thing, but it would take you away from that which is true. You need the truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, Peter says, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we want to be able to stand firm, we must grow. And a true friend is going to help us do that. Now, growth is not the easiest thing a lot of times. There are some times in which there is no adversity and growth comes and we think that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be really easy. But there's other times in which you've got to go through a tough moment in order to learn and grow. And those are useful as well. The true friend helps us to find those answers in the midst of all of those things. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul writing to Timothy said, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. In other words, what they really want to hear. It says they'll turn away from listening to the truth. They'll wander off into myths. That which is vain, empty, of no value whatsoever. And so we need those true friends that will tell us the truth, that will help us to grow, will encourage us to remain faithful, including giving us admonishment or even rebuke when necessary. And so there in verse 19, when he says, I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed with you in you. I wish I could be present with you now. He says, I'm anguishing. I have this anxiousness over you because I'm worried about your well-being spiritually. I'm worried about the fact that you're following these false things, these, as he wrote to Timothy, those myths, because of whatever their desire might have been at that moment. And by the time you do get to chapter 6, he's telling them to be those true friends to others when he says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. He says, you're going to go and do the very same thing I'm doing for you, for others. Because we are truly brethren, we are true friends. We need to appreciate people like that in our lives. We need to be people like that in the lives of others. And so we think about other passages, Psalm 141, verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. If we establish relationships with those that will be true friends to us, even though it may sting, we'll listen. We'll listen and we'll see the value in their words. Proverbs 13, verse 18, poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. I remember years ago, when I was working in the printing business, we hired this guy that comes in and says, I've got so and so much experience in running printing presses. I can run these various different kinds of equipment. And Dad and I both were always a little suspicious when we just had somebody random off the street that had experience running that equipment because, well, we were in a small town. You just didn't run into many people that knew anything about it. But we gave him a shot. We said, you know, come on in. Let's give you an opportunity to show us that you actually know how to run this equipment. And he did pretty good for a couple of days on really simple stuff. We moved him up to something that was a little more difficult. And he was really struggling with one particular job, and I came up and I tried to give him a little bit of instruction, and the guy's attitude was, I know what I'm doing, just step back and leave me alone. Well, first of all, don't say that to your boss. But second of all, he didn't get the job printed. He wasn't willing to listen to instruction, and so, probably won't surprise you, he didn't last very long. If you won't listen to instruction, you can't get the job done. And the same concept is true spiritually. If we won't listen to the instruction that God gives us about how to live a spiritual life, and the instruction that maybe our friends are trying to help us find within those scriptures, we're not going to be able to live faithfully to God. Proverbs 15, 31 and 32, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof, that would be those things that come from God, will dwell among the wise, and whoever ignores instruction despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Then finally, Proverbs 25, 12. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. You can see the value in those good, true friends sharing the truth with us. But there's also the possibility that we've got some of the wrong friends around us. I already mentioned these are the type of people that'll just tell you whatever you want to hear, or maybe even tell you what they want you to hear. That means that there may be some manipulation involved by someone that is not a true friend. This is the type of person that just wants you on their side. Just wants you to do the things that make them happy versus what might be for your good. Paul is contrasting those that are bringing this false gospel to them with himself. He says, I'm here to benefit you, to help you. They are there for their own benefit rather than yours. And that's an important distinction to realize when we're determining, do I have the right kinds of friends? These were people that wanted something from the Galatians instead of wanting to give something to the Galatians. We need to be aware of people like this. Sometimes They may be very zealous about the things that they present to you, but their motives may not be right. As he said, verse 17, they make much of you, but for no good purpose. They don't have the right types of intentions there. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, he said, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Well, that seems like a very similar situation that he's talking to the Romans about than what he's talking to the Galatians about in chapter 1 as well. He says, these people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Even in Romans chapter 10, he says, brothers, my heart's desire and pray to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. There are those that can be very, very zealous, confessing a belief in God. But if their knowledge isn't there, then the zeal may be empty and it may be misguided. And it's possible it might even be manipulative. You know, these false teachers coming to the Galatians, that's exactly what they were trying to do, was manipulate the Galatians in a particular way. And that's because that's the tactic of Satan. All the way back to the beginning, Satan has been a liar and a manipulator. You shall not surely die. Just a little bit of a lie in with some truth. And it sounds plausible. It sounds good. We have so many people today that will preach so many different false doctrines, but there's one common denominator among them. That is that they seek to fulfill the self-pleasures. That means They appealed to the desires rather than helping people to change their desires. See, if your desire is only to self, you'll only do what pleases self. If your desire is for God, then you will do what pleases God. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That same deceit is still going on. In verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 11, he says, these men are false apostles. They are deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. So they're doing exactly the same as Satan does. Satan tries to disguise himself. So we need to be wary. 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter writing about false prophets says that they will arise among the people and they will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. And you might say, well, why would that be a danger to Christians, those that would deny the master who bought them? Why would they fall prey to such a thing? Well, it doesn't come out that way. They don't stand up and say, I deny Christ. But it's the outcome of the teaching. And so some examination is required. And what we also find with those that are the wrong types of friends is that, well, they're there when they're there, but when they're not there, they cannot be depended upon nor called upon. They're kind of a fair-weather friend. They're the type of friend that they'll say all the right things to you when they see you, but once they're gone, there's no continuing care. Paul says, whether I'm there, whether I'm absent, I care for you. I am concerned for you. Philippians 1:27, he said, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. That's not happenstance, this hearing of them. It's not just, well, it comes through the grapevine or it doesn't come. No. He's hearing of them because he's inquiring. He wants to know. He cares about them. Then in chapter 2 and verse 12 of Philippians, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, we need to heed the wisdom of God in these matters. Proverbs 26, verse 23, like the glaze covering an earthen vessel or fervent lips with an evil heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his hearts. When he speaks graciously, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed. There's people that are always going to cover up what really resides deep within them. Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. An older brother in Christ one time was talking about this particular proverb, and he says, look, if somebody comes to you with a lot of flattery, that ought to send up all sorts of red flags. That ought to tell you, beware of what their intentions are. That's kind of along the lines of what he's stating here. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. They have ill intention. A lot of people have been led astray by the wrong kinds of friends. That's why with our children, we monitor them a little bit. You know, they go off to school and we want to know who their friends are. Especially once they get to the age of dating. They say, I want to date this person. Okay, I want to meet them. Bring them to the house. Let's have dinner with them. I want to know a little bit about them, their family, what's their upbringing. Because we want to know what influence might be upon our kids. We need to exercise some caution as well for ourselves. Do we have the right kinds of friends or the wrong kinds of friends? And that's a struggle a lot of people go through as Christians, is not being willing to make the choices about their friends. Somebody becomes a new believer, they become a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ, they want to share the gospel with everybody, and that is wonderful. And hopefully some of those friends will listen and they become disciples as well. But when they won't, and they want to entice us into unrighteous behavior, we have to make some choices. We have to make some choices that may be very difficult. 1 Corinthians 15:33, don't be deceived, bad company ruins good morals. And immature Christians, those that have not yet reached a point of truly standing firm in faith, have been tossed to and fro because of cunning and deceitful individuals. Ephesians 4:14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You know, there's a vivid picture being painted there of a boat that's out on some large body of water that a storm comes in and the boat is just pushed all around. You have no control whatsoever. There's no rudder, there's no sail, there's no anything to control where you're going. He says, we ought not to be so carried about by every wind of doctrine, cunning, and craftiness. And so we must learn from this interaction between Paul and the Galatians that those true friends are really going to tell us what we need to hear. They're going to care about our well-being in faith and righteousness. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. There is one true friend we can always count on, that is Jesus, who is the Christ, the one who is our Savior and who should be our Lord and the one who directs everything we do. That just truly tells us what we need to know so that we might follow that path of righteousness, or as Brother Robert was talking about in class this morning, that habit or manner of life. What is your manner of life? If you're here this morning and you realize that your manner of life has not been a path of righteousness, that needs to change today. You need to be in a relationship with God so that you have life eternal. That life only comes through Jesus Christ. He offered himself so that we might have that possibility of being in that covenant with God the Father. So if you need to be obedient today, to be baptized for the remission of sins, confessing his name, repenting of sin that is in your life, we'll be happy to help you with that. If you're not yet to that point but need to learn more about Jesus, we'll be happy to study with you and help you in any way that we can. Not because of things that we would say, but because of what God has said through his word. If you've been a child of God, but again, that manner of life is not lined up with that confession, then you need to repent and come back to him. Number 781 has been selected as our invitation song. If you would like to take advantage of the invitation of the gospel this morning, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.